on ABC Local Radio with Rod Quinn. Time to talk DVDs for the final time with Eddie Ivamy, who's been stepping into the breach while Rob Pemberton is away. Rob is back next week. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, Rod, for the last time in a little while.
You know, occasionally we get to see good films, and then occasionally we get to see films that you think, what was that about? Why did they even bother? And I hate to say that's where we're starting this morning.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, I'd love to end off with two great films that we could chat about today, but when we talk about Our Kind of Traitor, a film that came out middle of this year, a John le Carré adaptation, it's a very poor film, a very poor thriller, and unfortunately for all the actors involved, a very forgettable experience for them as well, I would have to say. And I was actually looking forward to this one, Rod. I've been a bit of a fan of some of the John le Carré adaptations, obviously a very famous author and a person that's stories make for good viewing when they're done right, but Our Kind of Traitor, directed by Susanna White, is not one of those.
Okay, so a bit of a revival of Jean Le Carré with The Night Manager, obviously on TV, 6-part series there, and also before that, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, that a lot of people liked. I wasn't crazy about The Night Manager, I thought kind of passed.
Yeah, I thought that was very poor, actually, Rod. Yeah. I was really looking forward to it after the hype and found that a very unfortunate miniseries. I didn't get involved in that at all.
No, and in fact, 6 episodes, it should have been 3, but that's often the case. So they've gone to the well yet again with Our Kind of Traitor. Who is Our Kind of Traitor?
So Our Kind of Traitor, Rod, centres around a struggling couple played by Ewan McGregor and Naomi Harris, who are on a bit of a European holiday and a relationship saver, I would say. And when they're there overseas, they meet a Russian who is played by Stellan Skarsgård, who befriends Ewan McGregor in very odd circumstances, invites him back when they're in a restaurant and says, hey, you know, do you want to hang out and we'll have a party tomorrow night? And wouldn't you know it, Ewan McGregor goes back with him, even though you would unlikely do that in real life. And he discovers that this Stellan Skarsgård character is actually works for the Russian mob. He's called Dima and he's their accountant, so he's their main accountant and he wants out. So he gives Ewan McGregor's character here, who is called Perry, a USB with some information on it, and he brings that back with him when he ends up in England and goes to MI6, and all of a sudden he's involved in this whole plot to save Dima, go back there and work as an almost undercover agent with his wife in tow as well. It's a highly unbelievable story, which I think is the main reason for me, Rod, why I didn't enjoy it too much. I not once really believed that this could have happened. Some of the other films adapted from John le Carré's books have been a lot more believable and based around some certain facts and things like that, but yeah, Our Kind of Traitor is a very silly film, which sometimes works for thrillers, but in this circumstance, it's just a bit of a boring chore, really.
It is. Now, I could believe, you know, palling around on holidays, maybe that's what some people do. They're away for a while. They meet up. Of course, you make friends quickly on holidays sometimes because you're looking for something to do. The party is pretty wild, I've got to say, at one point. But the idea that he would then take this back to MI6, not knowing what it was or what the information was, and then work for them, I found unbelievably implausible. But then again, you look at The Night Manager. That's a very similar plot in that somebody who is not involved with the spy trade suddenly becomes involved and an integral part of it and is kind of being manipulated by people on both sides and somehow is managing to become this super spy almost overnight.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like these people could really adapt to the circumstances, but I didn't particularly find that Ewan McGregor's Perry was a character that could have done this, and it's really disappointing. Susanna White has been involved in a lot of miniseries in the past. She worked a lot on a HBO show called Generation Kill, which was fantastic, a really good 6-part miniseries there, and the film here is adapted by Hossein Amini, who wrote Drive a few years ago for Nicholas Winding Refn, which is a very good thriller, and he directed a very fun thriller called The Two Faces of January. So
I liked that one.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. That was the type of thriller that Our Kind of Traitor perhaps could have been, but I find that very disappointing. There's some quality people behind the scenes here. John le Carré is obviously a very famous author, as we've spoken about. And the cast is great. Ewan McGregor can be very charismatic. Naomi Harris is quite
good.
Stellan Skarsgård's very good, often as a supporting character, but Damian Lewis is in it also, who's famous from Homeland. He doesn't really get to do too much other than act as the angry MI6 agent in charge of everything here. But, yeah, the whole thing is just, it's for a thriller, it's so dull. And as you say, once we kind of get to the stage where Ewan McGregor's come back and brought this USB home, it's just all a little bit too silly. And I think some of the saving graces for the film really are the lovely European visuals that we get to look at every now and then.
Yeah.
It's well shot by Anthony Dodd Mantle, who works a lot with Danny Boyle. So it's got some pedigree behind the camera, but for whatever reason, I felt this whole film really felt like a poor tally movie in some ways. It definitely didn't, to me, come across as a cinematic-type experience.
There was a nice couple of scenes in the snow.
Yeah, towards the end, it looks really good, and it has some pretty tense scenes towards the end there, Rod. But, yeah, leading up to it, I didn't really find there, other than a couple of tennis matches and some, I guess, adventures in the local European spas and things, there wasn't really too much going on for the whole film, and I'm not expecting it to be just action-packed like a Jason Bourne film or anything like that, but Tinkertail Soldier Spy was mainly talking, and that was a lot more tense and interesting than this one, but I don't know what happened here, Rod. I think it'll be a very forgettable film for a lot of people that see it.
I'm struggling to remember too much about it, except that there is kind of a shootout in the Alps at one point, which, again, it was so predictable, so obvious. And then the very last scene is also unbelievably predictable. I found the whole film a complete waste of time. They want to try and do these very spare, very cold Cold War movies, but we've kind of moved on from the Cold War, and they've got to come up with a different type of spy, frankly.
Yeah, and it does feel as though now they're perhaps going through a bit of the lesser works of John le Carré.
Yeah.
I can't imagine this would be thought of as one of his better books or stories, and I do just hope that they don't keep delving in and grabbing everything they can from his back catalogue. And a few years ago we had the film A Most Wanted Man that had one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's last films. Yeah, it was a terrible film as well, and totally over.
Yeah.
It was just this artistic kind of experience that did not work. So I'm a bit worried about where they might keep going with this. And even though The Night Manager was successful, as we both said, I thought that was rather disappointing, especially with some talented cast members behind it. But, yeah, our kind of trade are definitely not recommended to many people unless you're an absolute diehard fan of John le Carré. Maybe this would be a good one for you. But even for those, surely they'd be a bit disappointed in what this very dull experience offers.
I would think if you're a really big John le Carré fan, you're not going to like this at all, because it's nowhere near as good as some of his best works.
Yeah, and the mid-2000s film, Rod, The Constant Gardener, what a great film that was. It would be great to see that happen again. And I really hope that some people can bring some real vision to these stories. But maybe this one wasn't a story that could ever have been much more than a bit of a diversion. But look, I love a silly, throwaway type thriller, but
yes,
this one actually frustrated me. I found it more of a inconvenience watching it than anything. If it was on TV, I think I would have flicked the channel over pretty quickly, to be honest.
Okay, so there you go. Our kind of traitor is not our kind of film, is it?
No, absolutely not, Rod.
All right. Eddie Ifemi is our guest as we talk DVDs this morning, so you can definitely give Our Kind of Traitor a bit of a miss. Now, there is a new Australian film out. This film opened at the Sydney Film Festival earlier in the year, and it is a sequel of sorts, or maybe a continuation of the life of one of the main characters of a film called Mystery Road a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so Rod, it actually makes me really happy to talk about a good Australian film. It's been a bit of a quiet year this year for Aussie films so far. Hopefully that changes in the next few months. But Goldstone came out earlier this year, directed by Ivan Sen, and it is, as you say, I wouldn't say a sequel, but it's definitely a follow-on, a continuation of Mystery Road, which is a pretty decent film a few years ago, centering around Indigenous detective Jay Swan, who's played by Aaron Pedersen. And Ivan Sen burst onto the scene in the early 2000s with Beneath Clouds, a really good local Aussie drama. And since then, he's been keeping himself quite busy. He directed an absolutely fantastic film that not many people saw called Tumala, a lovely Australian film. It's actually quite confronting in many ways, but
yes,
a must-watch for anyone that hasn't seen it. I believe it was around 2011 when Tumala came out. That's when I really took notice of Ivan Sen, who doesn't just direct his film, he writes them, he scores his films, and he does the cinematography. So if that's not an all-round director, I don't know what is. So it's fantastic that we've got such a talented filmmaker in our country working on important local films. And Goldstone is very much, probably to me, the best Aussie film I've seen this year so far. An unexpected follow-up, I must say, Rod. I wouldn't have thought a few years ago when Mystery Road came out that we would have seen another one. It wasn't exactly a huge box office success or anything like that. But obviously Ivan Sen thought there was a lot more to be done with Jay Swan as a character. And yeah, here we have Goldstone, a murder mystery film set in the town of Goldstone, a bit of an outback mining town filled with shady characters and people looking to make some money off the land, the natural resources of the Australian land. And this time when we find Jay Swan, he is very much an alcoholic struggling from the events of Mystery Road, and he comes along into this town, Goldstone, chasing up the disappearance of a Chinese national who's gone missing in the local region, and he's quick to discover that Goldstone isn't exactly the sleepy, quiet, nice country town that many would expect.
Which is a similar plot, in a way, to Mystery Road. If you have not seen Mystery Road, does it make a difference with Goldstone?
Look, I would say it stands very well by itself, Rod. I think there'll be many that would have caught this one without having seen Mystery Road, and although it gives you a lot more backstory on the character of Jay Swan and why he is as he is, Mystery Road is very much its own standalone type of film. What you'd get with the James Bond, really, is the character is the character, but right. Some of them don't have too much history. And I must say, the probably one really disappointing aspect for me here was that Jay Swan perhaps wasn't as interesting as he was in the first film, and Aaron Pedersen not as charismatic as he was, but his role had changed. So the first film, Jay Swan had a lot more life in him, and here he is struggling along with some harsh things that have happened to him through his life, and he really is at his bottom ebb, I would say, and the only redemption he would seem to find was to do this job and find this missing Chinese national. But look, Ivan Sen, a very impressive film for an Australian film. It feels very rounded. It's well filmed. It's got a great score. He's got a great cast here, Rod. He's got David Wenham, Jackie Weaver, David Gulpilil. He's got the young actor Alex Russell, who plays second fiddle to Aaron Pedersen here. It's a really good cast, and David Wenham, Jackie Weaver, they're having an absolute blast here, although they're playing, I guess, different versions of villains they've played in the past few years. And it's always great to see David Gulpilil on screen. His last film that we saw him on, Charlie's Country, was a fantastic Australian film. And Ivan Sen, to me, is one of our best local directors. He's an absolute talent. And while Goldstone may not be the complete classic it could have been, it's still a very good film and one I would recommend to any fans of local cinema.
Now, we mentioned before about how our kind of traitor was kind of the level of a TV movie, which I think is kind of unfair given that TV these days is usually very good and probably better than the movies. Do you think that Goldstone, in fact, might be better, not as a movie, but as a TV series? So we've had Mystery Road, now Goldstone. We've established this character of Jay Swan, the police investigator, going to these remote areas, these outback towns, that in fact it would make a good TV series or a three-part mini-series or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Rod. I was going to say there that I believe absolutely there is room to grow this character more. It leaves things in a way where you do want to know a bit more about Jay Swan, and I found the last 5 or 10 minutes of this film quite touching in a lot of ways. It touched on some very interesting themes, and these countries out in the outback, Rod, have so much history of what happened there in the early days of Australian civilization, and obviously the mix of keeping the indigenous history as well as having mining companies come in, all these little elements and things that happen in these small towns, especially in the middle of nowhere. I would suggest that it would make a great series, actually, especially for streaming services like a Stan or a local product like that, perhaps ABC. And I don't know what Ivan Sen would have planned for the future of this character, if he has any at all, but I think it would make for a very interesting continuation, and perhaps a six-part miniseries or something like that would be really good for these type of mysterious, very layered pieces. And look, if Ivan Sen can attract such actors as he did to a film like this, I'm sure they would have worked for a very small paycheck. They're obviously just keen to work with Sen there. I'm sure that something that he would come up with next would attract some very interesting talent.
He's managed to get the money to make two movies, which is pretty good in Australia. You would think that he might be able to get some money to make a TV show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on the back of these few films that he's done now in his career, especially his first film, as you said, Beneath Clouds, was a great starting debut film, and he's really grown from there. And I think if companies were looking to work with local Australian talent, he surely must be, to just do what he did, even with Goldstone. Some of the cinematography is fantastic. The music is very good. The direction is good. The writing is often a step above local Aussie films. Sometimes local Aussie films struggle a little bit with their scripts and just their dialogue, but Ivan Sen's got a really good feel for it and works very well with actors. He's working with professionals here, but he gets great turns from them, so he obviously knows how to get a bit out of their actors that he's got available to him. And Tumala, that we mentioned earlier, was filmed largely with non-actors, and that was fantastic. So he shows a very wide talent there that he can work with and what he can do, and I'd love to see him be given I'd imagine Goldstone would have had a fairly decent budget, but if someone were to give him perhaps even that little bit more, I think we could see some really amazing results from him.
He does tend to work in the Indigenous genre. He is obviously Indigenous himself. Aaron Pedersen is as well. And I think that's a great thing, that these stories need to be told.
Yeah, they are, and he's touching on some very interesting subjects. Even in Goldstone, it's got this Chinese aspect of these almost slave labour people coming through for probably citizenship, and eventually they're getting turned into prostitutes and things to repay their debt. And all this history of the local Aboriginals, and what happened in Goldstone was obviously a very early mining frontier town that had a mix of Aboriginals, whites and Asian all there at once, and it touches on that in little ways, and especially, I guess, as well, the way that mining companies now are really, I guess, destroying some of the local history of these places. And Goldstone touches on the fact that this mining company wants to start working on the lands of ancient Aboriginal sites and things like that. So, you know, do we lose our history to gain financial gain and employ people? It's these kind of facets that are very interesting. So he's not just simply doing this murder mystery. He's touching on a wide range of things and still the tension that exists between the Aboriginal and white community in some ways.
We had the actor nominations come out as well recently, and Goldstone's been nominated for Best Film, for Best Director, for Best Original Screenplay, and Best Editing, all for Ivan Sen. So it's obviously going to be up against Mel Gibson's film Hacksaw Ridge, and also a couple of other films like The Daughter, which I really thought was fantastic. But we wish him the best.
Yeah, and absolutely. It played over in the London Film Festival this year, Rod, and was nominated for Best Film over there. So it shows that Goldstone has an appeal for audiences overseas, which sometimes Australian films don't have, unfortunately. It was nominated there for the Sydney Film, the main film prize there at the festival, and Toronto International Film Festival, it played over there. So I think I do hope in some ways that we can keep him here on our shores for a bit longer, but I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years' time Ivan Sen found himself the next great Australian import overseas, which we've had some success in a lot of ways. And I truly believe he's one of our great talents, so I'd love to see what he can do in the future.
Okay. The name of the film is Goldstone, a bit of an outback murder mystery, and we also watched Our Kind of Traitor, which is pretty much like a lot of other spy movies, I'm sorry to say. Eddie, thank you very much for the last couple of months. I've really enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Rod. Appreciate the opportunity, and enjoyed it thoroughly. Thanks, mate.
Eddie Ivamy, DVDs.